Tonight's lesson, I'd like for us to look at some things that maybe you're a little bit familiar with. When I was a child, I had two rehearsed prayers. Maybe I don't know if you did that or not, but I had two that my parents taught me. And one of them said, God is great, God is good, and we thank him for the food. And we would say that prayer. And then at bedtime, I would say, now I lay me down to sleep. Do you remember that? Did you do that prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Those were the two standard prayers that I prayed frequently as a child. When I was 3 years old, my parents tell this story. Of course, I don't remember it, but my dad had not too long had moved from Weirton, West Virginia, to Chester, West Virginia, where we grew up, or where I grew up. And after Dad had moved, there was some trouble with the church at Weirton. People weren't getting along very well. And one night when I did my Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep prayer, I also prayed that the people at Weirton get along with each other. That's when Mom and Dad knew they needed to be careful what they say in front of me, you know, because I was just all ears listening, taking in what they had to say. But what I would like for us to do tonight is look at this thought. As a child, I prayed that now I lay me down to sleep prayer. But as I grew older, I revisited that prayer and considered it with just a little twist to the words of that prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, those are the words that I want you to think about. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. As an adult, I ask the question, if I should wake before I die, then what? You see, as we begin this new year tomorrow, tonight, in 6 hours or less than 6 hours, there are some things that probably, you know, we all make resolutions, or many of us do, and we have some things that we'd like to do better. Well, I want to give you two resolutions tonight. And one of them has to do with this question: what would happen to you if you did not wake up tomorrow morning? What if you should die before you wake? Let's talk about that just for a little bit. If I should die before I wake, that's something that we should all give consideration to. And probably oftentimes you do. Now, if you're younger and you think you have 1,000 years ahead of you, you know, maybe you don't give thought to that. But as you grow older and you realize that your days are more numbered, you probably think about death much more than you did when you were younger. And that's not an unwise thing to do. In James chapter 4, James says, you who say today or tomorrow we're going to do this and that, he said, you need to remember you don't have any promise of tomorrow. You should view that as, if the Lord wills, I will do such and such. And he says, remember, our life is but a vapor that appears for just a short time and then vanishes away. Again, perspective will remind you, as you get older, you realize how short life is, more so than when you're younger. The years pass so quickly. And so to ask the question, if I die before I wake tonight, if I die and if before tomorrow I don't wake up, what will become of me? What will happen to me? In Luke chapter 12, verses 19 through 20, we read of that rich, well, Jesus calls him rich fool. He was a man who had much wealth, and he had his barns full, and he decided to build bigger barns so that he could stick all of his stuff in those barns. And Jesus never once condemned him for having big barns and a lot of stuff. But what he did condemn him for is being rich in this world, but poor with reference to God. And God called him a fool. Because this night, your soul will be required of you. That night, that rich man died before he woke the next day. And it would not have ended well for him. The Bible tells us also in John chapter 14 and verse 6, for those of us who are considering that part of that prayer, consider this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through or by me. There's no other way to heaven than through Jesus. And if you have resisted obedience to him and you've not given your life to him, there's no way you can go to heaven. Jesus said so. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one goes to the Father unless it is through Jesus. In Revelation chapter 20, we read of the book of life. You remember that? It's a book in which God will write down the names of all those who were saved. And if your name is not in that book, you'll be turned away and cast into the lake of fire. And you will be outside the pity, the mercy, the help of God throughout all eternity. And so that makes me think, I want to be ready to die before I want to be ready if I die before I wake. In Acts chapter 2, there's a sermon that's, well, the first sermon that was preached after the death of Jesus. And in this sermon, Jesus says, that Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And he began to preach to them, and as he was preaching, he was convicting them. They realized it, and they cried out before he finished. And can you imagine me preaching and somebody crying out, you know, saying, what must we do? They're so convicted, they interrupt me as I'm preaching. What must we do? That's what they did. And Peter said, repent. You gotta change your ways. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This is an important point. I want to bring this up. That would save them from their past sins. Sometimes I don't know that we have a good handle on what we talk about when we talk about salvation. Sometimes I hear, what do you have to do to go to heaven? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. Well, that's how you're saved from your past sins. But you got to do more than that to get to heaven. Because that's just the beginning of your life in Christ. And there's more you have to do. That's how we're saved from our past sins. But being baptized doesn't save you for heaven. It doesn't save you forever. There are things you have to do between your baptism and being saved eternally. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But what I'd like for you to consider first this evening is what would become of you if you died before you woke? That won't happen. I've got many days ahead of me. Well, you know how many people have said that? There are a lot of people who are saying that will someday regret it for eternity. I don't have any idea what that number would be, but of the people who say, I've got time, plenty of time. And there are people who die with good intentions to do the right thing, but they ran out of time. I can give you example after example, and I have in times past, but one in particular that I'm reminded of, well, in my own life, there was a man who died the first time he came to church ever, and his wife was so happy, and then I got a phone call at 3 a.m. with her asking me to come to the house because her husband had died. It happens. I have a good friend, Mike Tucker. His father was one of the elders here at one time, Milton Tucker. Is that right? Milton? What is it? M.H. Yeah, M.H. Tucker. That's what I was meaning to say anyway. I don't know if his name's Milton or not. It may be Marv. I don't know. Yeah. But M.H. Tucker used to be one of the elders here, taught in the school of preaching. But anyway, his son Mike told me that a man in Flatwoods, Kentucky, he preached there while I was preaching in West Virginia, and he said, I went to visit him. He was convicted, wanted to be baptized. He'd put it off all of his life. He said, I've put this off. I needed to do this years ago, and now he's dying, and he's in the hospital, and Mike is trying to get permission from the hospital administration to baptize him. His family is saying, no, you can't baptize him. It'll be too hard on him. You'll kill him. We can't do that. Allow you to do it. The man is saying, I want to be baptized. And there was this big argument, and while everybody was arguing, he died. He died outside of Christ. You think it won't happen, but I'd be curious to know how many people will be lost eternally. And it's not because they didn't know the truth. It's because they knew it and just put it off. And so if I should die before I wake tonight, what would happen to you if you should die before you wake? And if you can't answer that with assurance and security that you will be fine in the hands of God, you need to make changes tonight before it's too late. But let's look at the twist to that old prayer that is sometimes prayed. And it's this: if I should wake before I die. Now, we don't usually pray that part, but I think that part is an urgent part to our Christian life. Chances are not all of us are going to die tonight. We're going to wake up in the morning. But then my question is, then what? What are you going to do with the new year? How are you going to live your life? If God gives you life through the night, what are you going to do with it? That's a question that we need to entertain as well. You know, there's a man in the Old Testament. We read about him in the New Testament in the book of 2 Peter and Jude. And his name was Balaam. He was a wicked man. Nothing's good said about him. He was a prophet of God, though, but he was a wicked prophet of God. He served money rather than God. And before Balaam died, he prayed a beautiful prayer in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 23 and verse 10. And in that passage in Numbers 23:10, Balaam said, Lord, let me die the death of the righteous, and let my end be like his. Noble prayer. Lord, let me, if I should die before I wake, let me go to heaven. Let me be with all the righteous people that have ever died. If I should die before I wake, let my end be like the end of all the righteous people. Well, that would be a noble prayer, but Balaam didn't die before he woke. He lived, but he was unwilling to live for the Lord. And he eventually dies in the camp of the enemy of God. So here's a man who wanted to die in Christ or in the Lord, the death of a righteous man, but he was unwilling to live for the Lord. And maybe we could find ourselves in that category to some degree. Yes, Lord, I want you as my Savior, and I don't want to, if I should die tonight, please be with me. Let me go to heaven. Take care of me. But then if we don't die and we wake up in the morning, what are we going to do with that day? How are we going to live within that day? That's a question that we need to ask ourselves. We should be praying for God's help to do good. You know, the Bible gives a summation of the life of Jesus in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And it says this of Jesus: he went about doing good. That's a pretty good summation of the life of Jesus. Oh, we can get into details, but if you want to just give a blanket statement of how did Jesus live his life, he went about doing good. That's what he was about. He was a do-gooder, if you will. And we don't like to talk, or at least our religious culture doesn't like to talk about doing good, good works. We're not saved by good works, we hear all the time. And good works shouldn't be the focus, and we shouldn't be talking about and encouraging people and making them think they have to do good works. We're saved by the grace of God. Well, of course we're saved by the grace of God. But if you think that that means we can coast and not do good works, you haven't read the book of Titus. Would you open your Bibles to the book of Titus just for a moment? In Titus chapter 2, in verse 7, he says, "In all things, showing yourselves to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility." And he goes on and says several other things. But you notice, Paul said, you need to be a pattern for other people. A pattern of what? A pattern of good works. Look again in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. "He who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works." When Jesus died, he redeemed a people, and they were his own people. He's talking about the church, us. And he said, those people that I have redeemed, they are a people who are zealous for good works. Turn in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3 and look at what he says in verse 8. "This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." Again, this is a faithful saying. This is what you need to do. Maintain good works. And then again in chapter 3, look at verse 14, "And let our people also learn to maintain good works, to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful." Jesus went about doing good works. What should we do with the time that we give us? If I should wake before I die, what am I going to do with my life? Do good works. Walk in the footsteps of Jesus. In Mark chapter 9 and verse 41, you may remember that Jesus was talking about how you can't be against him and for him. And he said this, "If you will but give a cup of water in my name, you will in no wise lose your reward." He's attaching salvation to doing good. And when you read in Matthew chapter 25 of this great gathering and separation at the end of time, where the king will say, "Blessed are you, and depart from me, I never knew you." When he has those two peoples gathered, what is the criteria for which they are saved? I know it's not the only, but what is it what he talks about? "I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and you didn't visit me." It was things, works that they were supposed to do. While you're over in Titus, would you just flip over a little further and go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. And I want you to see what Peter says, beginning in verse 5. "But for this very reason, giving all diligence." Now, that tells me this is not something haphazard. It's not something I stumble into every now and then. It's not something that's hit and miss in my life. He said, "You give diligence to this. Add to your faith virtue." Virtue's moral courage. It's the ability to stand up for what's right when nobody else will. It's that ability to stand when everybody else compromises and you feel the weight of the peer pressure. and you won't cave into it. Add to your belief in Jesus this moral quality in your life, virtue. And to virtue, add knowledge. And we can't do that without reading our Bibles. To knowledge, self-control. We need to discipline our lives and not just run to excess into things and make a mess of things. And add to self-control, perseverance. You got to hang in there. You can't just start the Christian life. You have to finish the Christian life. And to perseverance, godliness. We need to look more and more like God. If somebody looks at your life and they think you resemble more the devil than they do of God your Father, you got some work to do. You're not living the way Peter said to live. And add to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Now listen to what he said. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, listen, you will never stumble. You remember when we were talking about what we have to do to be saved? Well, it depends on what kind of salvation you're talking about. If you're talking about salvation from my past sins, I need to hear, believe, repent, confess my faith in Jesus, and be baptized in water for the remission of my sins. That's how I'm saved from my past sins. Well, how do you get saved for heaven? Well, nothing. I've already done it. That's not what the Bible teaches. You don't see Peter telling Simon in Acts chapter 8, go get baptized again. That's not what he needed to do. Well, what is it that we who have been saved from our past sins need to do to have salvation eternally with the Lord? Right here. It says so. If you do these things and abound in them, you'll have eternal life. Furthermore, he says, you will have an abundant entrance supplied to you into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I want you to consider those questions tonight. I think they're really important. And maybe even more important as we begin this new year and we're trying to map out what we're going to be and how we're going to live and everything. There could be some people here tonight who are not prepared for that first consequence or scenario or proposition. What if you should die before you wake? Do you know you'd be saved? Or are there things in your life that are keeping you from having security? Oh, you intended to get rid of it. You intend to make it right. But right now, it's kind of fun. And right now, I'm unwilling to change. If you were to die before you wake tonight, and your attitude is such, you'll be lost. There will be no hope for you. What a terrible way to live your life with that kind of dread and fear. We can blanket out of our minds and try not to think about it, but someday it's going to catch up to us, and then there we will be before God and have to give an answer, and we have no answer. If I should die before I wake, if you're not prepared, you need to make that right. But now there are a lot of people here tonight that are probably very good. If they died tonight, they'd go to heaven. They'd be with the Lord. But here's your proposition. What if you don't die before you wake? What if you live? What if you wake up in the morning? Then what are you going to do with your life? And if your plans are to coast or let other people do the work of the Lord, and you're just, you know, you tag along, you say, look what we did down there at church, and you haven't really contributed. You're not going to be saved by rubbing shoulders with disciples of Christ. You're going to be saved because you were a disciple of Christ. And if your life is not demonstrating that you have given yourself to good works and that you have been adding those virtues that you read in 2 Peter chapter 1 that will guarantee we will never fall and an abundant entrance to heaven will be given to us, then we need to make that change as well. What if I wake before I die? I hope we have the resolve to work in the kingdom of God till he comes, and then all will be well. So as we bring this lesson to a close tonight, I just want to conclude with those two questions. And if you see yourself in there, I hope that you'll consider what would happen in either scenario. What if you died before you wake? What would become of you? And what if you wake before you die? How are you going to live your life? If you need to answer those questions, and as you answer those questions tonight, and you're not liking the answer, ask God to forgive you. Repent, and he will be faithful and just to forgive you. And we'll pray with you this evening. And if you've never obeyed the gospel, and you know that's something I need to do, and I've been putting it off, what a better way. There's no better way than to begin this new year submitting yourself to Jesus, putting him on in baptism, and beginning to walk that life of good works. If you're here and you need to respond to the invitation tonight, I hope that you'll do so as we stand together and sing.